Good morning, one and all, and welcome once again to the Free Community Church service, both live and online. We would like to thank you for making time to be with us in service and worship our Lord together. So welcome once again and welcome home. As we prepare our hearts and minds to begin worshiping our Lord, we would like to ask you to join us in this call to worship. Come in and sit down, you who are a part of the family.
We are lost and we are found, and we are a part of the family.
We know, God, that we who have gathered here are a part of the family, but we also know that the family is much bigger than us still.
There are people we don't understand. There are people we disagree with. There are people we don't like. There are people who don't like us.
Challenge us, God, to expand our vision of family
until we see all of creation as one big family. Amen.
Let's come to our Lord's house to offer him our praise and our worship.
I could just sit and wait for all your goodness, hope to feel your presence. I could just stay right where I am and hope to feel you, hope to feel something again.
I could hold on
to who I am and never let you change me from the inside. I could be safe here in your arms and never leave home, never let these walls down. But you have called me higher, you have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. You have called me higher, you have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. You'll lead me.
I could hold on
to who I am and never let you change me from the inside. And I could be safe here in your arms and never leave home, never let these walls down. But you have called me higher, you have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will. But you have called me higher. will be yours. I will be yours for all my life. I will be yours. I will be yours for all my life. I will be yours. I will be yours for all my life. So let your mercy.
Let us pray. Living, loving, ever-present God, you journey with your people through every time and season. You remain faithful, dependable, and true. When we look at to you, we often are enabled to see the way ahead. You make the darkness light and turn sorrow into joy. God of all the universe, you draw alongside us, weeping with us, gently cradling our pain, reaching out to heal and to hold. Forgive us, O God, when we forget your love for ourselves and for others. Forgive us when we hoard or discard resources out of the rich bounty that you have given. And forgive us, Lord, when we fail to see our connectedness to you and to our neighbor. Bring us back to you time and time again. Stop us in our tracks and confound us with your love until, worn down, we fix your eyes, our eyes on you, God of our salvation. In every sadness, O God, you are there, holding out comfort. In every darkness, O God, you are there, holding out light. In every fear, O God, you are there, holding up hope. And in everything, O God, you are there, holding out love. when we don't know where to go, when we fear what lies ahead, when we long for what we knew. May we see you, sometimes ahead of us, leading us, or sometimes behind us, nudging us. And often we find you beside us, accompanying us through it all. May we rest our weary souls in the balm of your grace and your love until we are renewed to carry on following where you lead in steadfast love. And we pray all this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.
After the pride, after the fall, the hands of mercy opened wide. After the rain, after the flood, you set your promise in the sky. The God who was and is to come has been the same for me. After all these years, you've never given up. After all these years, you're constant in your love.
Yeah. after all you've done. It amazes me, you're still running after us.
So good morning, everyone. And just like we sang earlier, God is still running after us. Isn't it an amazing thought that even now, that God loves us so much, that God is constantly drawing us to God's self. So this morning, I wanted to invite you to participate in our sermon. We've been using menti.com. And so if it's your first time or you haven't tried it before, you know, but you've kind of like watched people doing it, I just want to ask you to whip up your phones and, you know, type in menti.com into your browser, all right? And then you can use a code up there, 8509-8216. 8509-8216. And you can follow along with the slides as well as the questions, all right? So there'll be questions along the way which you can participate in. Don't worry, they're not difficult questions, I think. But, you know, definitely you will be helping to build the sermon. So one of the great things about doing this digitally as well as on-site, doing a hybrid kind of service, is that we get a chance to engage with one another. There's no longer just a sermon is no longer just me or the preacher speaking to you, but you get to speak to all of us as well. You add to it. So please, you know, feel free to participate, okay? So menti.com, 8509-8216, right? So as some of you know, we are in the midst of a preaching series called Our Story of God in Us. And basically what we're hoping to do through this series is to share our position as a church regarding who God is and our aspirations as a people belonging to God. Today I'm going to talk about LGBTQ plus inclusion. And I think all of us know that FCC is an LGBTQ plus affirming an inclusive church. But have you ever wondered why? Okay. So I'm going to kick off with the first question, okay? Why did FCC decide to be an LGBTQ plus affirming church? All right? Okay, so there are five options there, okay? And you can actually pick multiple options. All right? So I'm going to run through the options with you, okay? One, because many of our members are LGBTQ plus, and we just wanted to do what was comfortable and convenient for us. Okay, that's one. Right? Two, because loving our neighbor means all neighbors, no ifs, no buts. Right? Three, because LGBTQ plus people are also made in the image of God. Four, because it's what Jesus would have done. Right? If you imagine Jesus, right, you look at how he welcomed all those who were deemed sinners in his day, yeah. Perhaps it was what Jesus would have done too. Five, because the arc of Scripture points towards inclusion and not exclusion. Okay, so I see a lot of you populating the various options. Very good, very good. Well done. Okay, so okay, the least for number one, okay, because it's a bit skewed, right? And I'll run through that. I see a lot for what Jesus would have done, the arc of Scripture, yes, and loving our neighbours, as well as how LGBTQ people are made in the image of God. Fantastic, okay? So, you know, a lot of people have always said that FCC, right, is LGBTQ plus inclusive and affirming, right? Simply because we're just trying to do what's convenient for us. Like, see, all of them, so many of them, you know, they're gay, they're lesbian, they're transgender. That's why they just say we're affirming, right? Have you ever heard that kind of opinion about us before? Have, right? You know, that we haven't really thought through Scripture. In fact, actually, we just don't care about Scripture. Lah. In fact, we kind of massage Scripture in order to fit our own convenience, right? And I want to say that that's not true. Okay, why I'm putting it up there, right, is because I want us to know exactly why we're LGBTQ plus affirming. There is half-truth in that, okay? Half-truth in that point number one. I think we started out with a lot of LGBTQ plus members in the beginning. I mean, that's why FCC started. It was started as a support group, originally Safe Haven, for people who were gay and who had been thrown out of their churches and they needed a safe space to worship together, to grow together, to do Bible study together, you know. And so, because they themselves are LGBTQ+, they were able to have perhaps a little bit more progress in their understanding of why God is accepting and affirming of all of us, okay? But we're not doing it because it's convenient and comfortable, all right? The other options are all true, okay? They're all the basis for why we're affirming. And I'm going to run through all of them with us today, all right? So why do we believe our God is about inclusion of all? And I don't mean just LGBTQ plus people, as of all, but today we're talking about this topic. I think it's important for us as a church to know why we believe our God is for inclusion of all. And I hope our members are able to articulate why we are LGBTQ inclusive and affirming when you are asked. All right, and that's why I'm kind of running through these with you. Okay, and so let's go into our first point. Because loving your neighbor means loving all neighbors. No ifs, no buts, no caveats. Right? Last week, we saw that the most fundamental aspect of the Christian faith is love. It's love. It's loving God with your heart, your whole soul, your mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And we saw that love means experiencing God's grace in understanding our worthiness in God's eyes. And in the same way, love means helping others to understand their worthiness too, that they are equally beloved in God's eyes, no matter who they are, no matter what labels society puts on them. Much as we understand this, there may still be questions in our minds, right? But who is our neighbor? The kind of neighbor that we're supposed to love as we love ourselves. And even Jesus was asked this follow-up question, right, when he talked about the greatest commandment. Our minds are constantly trying to categorize and label people. Who's our neighbor that you ask us to love, right? So when Jesus was asked by the expert in religious law, not just an ordinary person, an expert in religious law, and who is my neighbor? He told the parable of the Good Samaritan. He spoke about a Samaritan, one of the Jews' hated enemies, showing love and compassion to a Jewish man who was attacked by robbers and left for dead. And then instead of answering the question posed to him by the expert in religious law, he turned, right, you notice, right, he turned the question around and asked, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked? And the man replied, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said, yes, then go and do the same. Go and do likewise. You see, the challenge that Jesus is issuing for us is for us to be the neighbor to everyone. It's not about us figuring out who to be kind to. It's about us showing love and kindness to everyone who is in need of love and kindness. Love means helping others understand their worthiness in God's eyes. That they are equally beloved no matter who they are or what labels are placed on them. So, the first is because of love. The second is because LGBTQ people are also made in the image of God. In Genesis, go back again, eh? In Genesis 1, verse 27, we said, so God created human beings in God's own image. In the image of God, God created humans. Male and female, God created them. And we see also in Psalms 8, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars which you have established, what are they that you are mindful of them, and mortals that you care for them? Yet you have crowned them little less than God and crowned them with glory and honor. So when you look at the Bible and how God relates to us, it means that every single human being should be treated with equal dignity as people created in God's image. So whatever your gender identity, whether you're cisgender or transgender, or somewhere along the spectrum, whether you are, whatever your sexual orientation, right, whether you're drawn towards people of the same or opposite sex, you're a human being created in God's own image, loved and cared for tenderly by the Creator. So we are to treat every person with equal dignity and love them as God does, right? And as Christians, we welcome those of every race, and we say that in our church, right? We welcome those of every race, gender, sexual orientation, age, physical and mental ability, nationality, economic class, into the full life of our community. And as Christ followers, we seek to uplift and celebrate the worth and dignity of all people as created in God's very image and likeness. Okay, so that's two. Three, because it's what Jesus would have done. And many of you picked that option, right? Jesus was revolutionary in the way that he welcomed and embraced those who were deemed sinners in his time, if you remember. In fact, the lengths he would go to show compassion to those who were labeled by society as rejected by God. For example, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the sinful women, lepers. Him embracing all of them placed him at odds with the religious authorities at that time, to the extent that they actually labeled him possessed by the devil. Do you remember? He said, this guy, right, he must be like possessed by the devil to do all these things. And I'm not sure if you've experienced something similar in your life. Maybe people have not said that you're possessed by the devil. But what labels have been placed on you because you chose to embrace those society deems as rejected by God? Right? Have you ever been called something, or people have said something about you because you have chose to embrace those that society deems as rejected by God? Yes? If you have, just type in your word over there or a phrase over there, all right? And then we'll kind of build a word cloud, right, around it. Okay? So as you're thinking, let me share with you some labels, okay, that have been placed on me. Okay? Some labels that have been called is false teacher, right? One who's leading the flock astray. One who'll be punished for my false teachings, for the things that I do. So some of you said, yes, that you've been naive, right? Because you embrace people that others would not. Ungrateful, wow, okay. Aqua. For those of you who do not know what aqua is, it's actually a derogatory term in the Mandarin dialect for someone who's effeminate, right? Sicko. It's terrible. Pervert. Self-righteous, demon-possessed as well, yes, possibly, right? Fake Christian, deluded, rebel. I don't know what's SJW. So if you can explain what that is, that would be great too. Idealistic, do you all know? Any of you here? No? Okay. Deluded, yes. Unappreciative, so many things, right? Condemned to hell, right? Definitely. Abomination, special, okay, that's cool. Nothing to do, okay. Okay, yeah. Social justice warrior. I would say that's a positive thing. No, in a bad way. Oh, so they say it in a bad way. Okay, lah. But I'm proud of you, okay? We are, right? That's what we are seeking to do, to bring about social justice. Another derogatory term, right? Paria. Entitled. It's terrible, right? Unnatural. So many words, right, that you've probably been called just for doing the loving thing, for doing the very thing that Jesus would have done. And you know what? You're not alone. As you see in Scripture, right, even Jesus was accused of being possessed by the devil because of the people that he would embrace. And so, it's not exactly a new thing, right? But it's a hurtful thing. It's a painful thing, right? Slur words, wow. Stop acting so holy. Yes. Queer as a slur, yes. People use that, right? I mean, we use LGBTQ and queer, and we've tried to redeem that term, but often people have used that word as a slur as well. So many names that we've been called for trying to do the right thing. Obviously, through all the names that we see up there, there are some who agree with us and many who don't. And I would say in Singapore, there are many who don't. There is a spectrum of views towards LGBTQ plus acceptance in the Christian world today. And I want you to know where we stand on that spectrum. And I want to make clear what that spectrum looks like, because sometimes people get a little bit confused, right? And here's a table, so it's kind of, it kind of puts things in categories. It's not always exactly what, like what it is, but it gives a general idea, all right, of where some of the categories are. So you have LGBT, you have anti-gay, of course, then you have welcoming, you have accepting, affirming, all right? So I want you to know that when a church says that we're LGBTQ welcoming, and that's all, right, often it means you're welcome, but. And you'll go find out what the but is, huh? Accepting, well, hard to say, right? Sometimes accepting, but up to a certain extent, you have to do certain things. Affirming means we love you, full stop, period. We love you just as you are. I would say that most churches will say that they are LGBTQ welcoming. But there's a huge difference between welcoming and affirming. For churches who say that we are welcoming, but not affirming, of LGBTQ people. This means that LGBTQ people are welcome to attend, welcome to give of their monetary tithes and offerings, but their gender identity and sexuality cannot be affirmed by allowing them to volunteer or minister and definitely not to lead, all right, in that church. Or in some churches, they even have definitions and distinctions, right? They say LGBTQ people can volunteer in administrative roles, where it doesn't involve other people, but not in worship, and definitely not in children's ministry, for instance. Right? I think Christians who stand with being welcoming, but not affirming, they don't realize the hurt that this stance carries. It's like saying, you're very welcome here, but we don't support your relationship with your long-term partner. Or, you're welcome here, but we believe your current lifestyle is sinful and you need to prayerfully consider what is pleasing to God. Or, we don't practice conversion therapy, but we strongly recommend that you stay celibate for the rest of your life. You know, this theological tension has led some pastors to express a view that the current exclusive positions of many churches are untenable and unjust. And one pastor actually summed it this way. He said, welcoming but not affirming, it's almost like with one hand you're shaking them by the hand and with the other hand you're slapping them in the face. Welcoming and affirming is the common language that we use in FCC to demonstrate that we not only recognize that LGBTQ people deserve respect, but also the affirmation that they are equally loved by God, regardless of who they love and how they identify their gender. That said, right, saying all those things with all the different categories, we need to recognize that Christians have the capacity to change their minds and their positions regarding the acceptance and affirmation of LGBTQ people within the church, and many have over time. Often the shift happens because they realize it's what Jesus would have done. When they really sit down and think about it, when they really start to do their research, they realize it's what Jesus would have done. And as followers of Christ, we all need to be open to changing our minds and re-examining our positions. I remember I was doing a paper on ethics when I was studying in Singapore Bible College many years ago. And I came across this article by Lewis Smeets, a very famous Christian ethics professor. And it's called Like the Whiteness of the Sea. And in this article, written in 1999, just before the turn of the year 2000, okay, he talked about how his position on committed same-sex relationships changed. And this was actually a very revolutionary stance at that time. He looked at the issue of divorce and how the church changed their stance over the years. The church once excluded divorced and remarried people, right, because they believed it was a sin. And they banned them from participating in taking communion. But over time, the church changed its policy of exclusion to a policy of embrace for three main reasons. Do you know what those reasons are? What made the church change their mind? One, more children of Christian leaders were getting divorced and remarried. Like, it's becoming real, right? It's a real issue. My children cannot participate in taking communion. That's terrible, and we might have to re-examine our position. Ministers and congregations revised their beliefs about what communion really means. And the church also revised its understanding of Jesus' prohibition against divorce, realizing that they needed a more empathetic and pastoral response to divorce. So he argued that the church's embrace of people who were once divorced and remarried is actually a precedent for embracing LGBTQ people. He gave actually a very in-depth explanation of Romans 1. And he said, whomever Paul had in mind in Romans 1, we can be certain they were not Christian homosexual persons who are living their need for abiding love in monogamous and covenanted partnerships of love. And he added, my church's exclusion of homosexuals who confess Christ and live together in committed love makes me very sad. And remember, this was actually 20 years ago, in 1999. So it was actually quite revolutionary at that time. And even at that time, you realize that the perspectives of many Christians were evolving, and even more so over the past 10, 20 years. Smeets actually had a faculty colleague at Fuller Theological Seminary, Jack Rogers, who is the author of Jesus, the Bible, and Homosexuality. And Jack Rogers, actually he made a very biblical case for equal rights for everyone who is LGBTQ. He says, throughout history, Christianity has moved towards ever greater openness and inclusiveness. Today's church is led by people of color, women, divorced and remarried people. And he argued that when we interpret the Bible through the lens of Jesus' redemptive life and ministry, we see that the church is called to grant equal rights to all people. If we look at things through the lens of Jesus' redemptive life and ministry, the church is called to grant equal rights to all people. You see, Rogers' change of mind and heart occurred as a result of him going back to the Bible and taking seriously its central message for our lives, to love God, to love our neighbor as ourselves. So in his book, right, he takes readers on a historical tour on how Christians have misused the Bible to justify slavery, segregation, the subordination of women, and those seeking mixed-race marriages. And time and again, he said, the church got it wrong. The church got it wrong by making the Bible say what the culture assumed. So we're actually using the Bible to support our assumptions within our culture. And so also today, he said, on same-sex relationships, he argues that there are parallels to the past misuses of Scripture. And he explains how the church, guided by theology, arrived at a new biblical understanding of race, of women, of divorce and remarriage, and how the church can similarly reform its understanding of LGBTQ persons. He said the best methods of interpretation from the Reformation on down through today call upon us to interpret the scripture through the lens of Jesus Christ's life and ministry. We are called to interpret scripture through the lens of Jesus Christ's life and ministry. Using this method, we see clearly that Jesus and the Bible, properly understood, do not condemn people who are LGBTQ. In fact, the Bible contains an extravagant welcome for sexual minorities. So this leads me to my fourth point. And many of you chose this point as well. And I'm glad you realized that, right? That you stand behind that. That the arc of Scripture points towards inclusion and not exclusion. You know, in the Old Testament, those who were different, and to them different at the time, sexually different, were like the eunuchs, barren women who couldn't give birth, right? All these people were barred from entering the assembly of God. It's almost saying that if you're barren, right, if you're eunuch, you cannot enter the church. Something similar to that, okay? And this is in Deuteronomy. But within the text of Scripture, the Bible itself, we see a greater inclusion of gender and sexual minorities. In Isaiah, which is a little bit later on, in the prophet Isaiah, and later on in Acts, in the New Testament, we see the trajectory towards greater inclusion of barren women and eunuchs, and they were fully embraced in the community of believers. And one of the first gentle converts to Christianity was an Ethiopian eunuch. And we see that in Acts chapter 8. And he was baptized, right? He said, I want to be baptized. And Philip said, okay, let's baptize you now. And the New Testament's trajectory towards greater inclusion of eunuchs, I think, offers important precedent for the inclusion of gender and sexual minorities today. Even so, LGBTQ-affirming Christians have often been accused of elevating experience over the authority of Scripture in order to support their views, right? I don't know if you've heard, but sometimes, you know, people look at FCC and they say, you are just using your experience, right, to cover over Scripture so that it's, you know, it supports your own views, right? But I just want to tell you that throughout history, there have been many examples of Christians reconsidering their interpretation of Scripture due to their experiences, right? So let me ask you, right, this question. What examples can you think of in history where Christians have actually reconsidered their interpretation of Scripture due to their experience? Okay, so just kind of cast your mind back, right, into history and think, have we actually changed our minds about certain things and the way we understand the Bible and what the Bible is trying to tell us about how we treat other people due to the experiences that people are having at that time? Okay, so what examples can you think of? The role of women, yes! The fact that I'm preaching here today, we know that things have changed. We know that people have actually reconsidered their interpretation of Scripture. Okay, the ordination of women, yes. And that's actually only in recent years, right? In recent decades that some churches ordain women. And do you know that even today, there are a lot of churches that don't, and they exclude women from leadership and from pastoral duties and ministry? Possible, right? Because of the way we look at Scripture, right? So women teaching, overturning slavery. Yes, slavery. Science and evolution, right? They used to think that the world was flat, right? And they were like, everyone who says something different is a heretic. And they would even burn them at the stake, right? Very extreme. But we've changed our minds, right? And we go like, oh, science can inform us and help us understand the world better. On death penalty, yes. On divorce, yes. On the status of women, the position of the earth relative to the sun, the age of the earth, yes, right? Mental health and psychology, absolutely. You know, often, I think in the Gospels, when you talk about demon-possessed persons, some of them were probably mental health issues. It's only something that we understand more now in recent times, and we understand them better now. Issue of abortion, on sex work, that earth rotates around the sun, earth was flat, women in leadership, slavery, use of contraceptives, IVF, prayer without action will solve your problems, yes. So many, many things, right? We have changed our minds in a way that we interpret Scripture because we experience God in a different way in our times. So you've given many examples, and in the interest of time, I'm going to give you two, okay? The early Christians, in Acts 15, they chose to include Gentiles in the church without requiring them to be circumcised or to obey the OT law, the Old Testament law. And they made this decision based on their experience. So Peter declared of the early Gentile believers, he said, God who knows the heart showed that God had accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them. Because Peter and the disciples actually saw the Gentiles actually having the Holy Spirit in them. It was an experience, right? It was through that experience that they said, okay, I think they don't need to follow Old Testament law. They don't need to be they don't need to be circumcised, okay, like us, all right? And so they changed the rules around it. So because they saw, they recognized the power of the Holy Spirit in them just as in us. And so they said, okay, we need to change our minds. And in the 19th century, Christians reconsidered the long-standing interpretation of Scripture that supported slavery, something that some of you spoke about. And this is huge, okay? William Wilberforce and many other Christian abolitionists, people who wanted to abolish slavery, they appealed to the horrific reality of slavery to urge other Christians to change their understanding of Scripture on this topic. Can you imagine that in history, people had to try and convince fellow Christians that it's horrific, it is terrible that you actually have slaves and the way you treat them is unjust, it's unfair. We need to treat them as equal human beings. Imagine, we actually had to fight for that. You know, for people to change their minds without looking at, and for them to change the way they interpret Scripture. Scripture talks about slaves, right? That means it's okay to have slaves, lah. You know, which was basically the mindset then, right? And that's how experience can actually inform us in our understanding, our interpretation of Scripture. And so, I think one thing that William Wilberforce says that's really applicable and relevant to us even today is you may choose to look the other way, but you can never say again that you did not know. You can choose to look the other way, but you can never say again that you did not know. I think once we understand the harm that your interpretation of Scripture may cause another human being, and this can be in LGBTQ issues and it can be any other issue as well with any group of people, I hope we won't choose to look the other way. The moment we hear stories of people, true stories of people who have been harmed by our interpretation of Scripture, we need to re-examine our understanding. Last year, during our PINDOC service, on 28th of June, 2020, Wendy and David just shared their testimonies of how their theological position regarding LGBTQ persons shifted. And for those of you who don't know Wendy and David, David is here today. He's going to do communion later. All right. And so Wendy shared that what sparked the change in her position was hearing about the suicide of a former church member after coming out and leaving the church. She said, it broke my heart that she had to choose between being true to herself and belonging to a church. You can go to our sermon archives and go watch a video if you're interested. It's very moving. But they shared their experiences and a heartfelt apology. They said, and I'm quoting them, "We are here to make a statement of apology. As Christians, we believe that God invites everyone to know God's love through Jesus Christ. God calls us to display that love to everyone. But when it comes to how Christians have treated our gay brothers and sisters and the larger LGBTQ community, Christians have been known more for our hate, fear, suspicion than our love. We are here at this Pink Dot service to say that we are sorry. We're sorry for feeling and expressing moral superiority, for using the Bible to hide our disgust and homophobia, for blindly accepting untruths like being gay is a choice, for being dismissive of the hurt caused by statements like, love the sinner, hate the sin, for preaching rather than listening, for remaining silent when jokes and offensive remarks were made, for wanting to fit in with the majority rather than speaking up, for judging other Christians who have affirming positions, and so much more. Forgive us. I was really moved by their loving words and their courage to change their minds. And not only did they shift in their theological understanding, they also followed through in action. Their whole family attends FCC. You know, they're one of our first few straight families, actually. They started attending FCC regularly and serving. One of them is on the board and the other is on the council now. Do you know who's on the board and who's on the council? You know? David's on the board and Wendy's on the council, okay? In case you didn't know. We live in times where many Christians, in fact, the majority of Christians in Singapore, they remain non-affirming regarding the full inclusion of LGBTQ plus persons in the church. And I think the mandate falls on us, FCC as a community, to learn how to be bridge builders and how to be effective advocates for LGBTQ inclusion in our society today. John Shelby Spong, the theologian and author, he wrote, Christians are called to love God in all of God's expressions, to love our neighbors, including our neighbors who call God by a different name, and even our neighbors who use the literal text of the Bible as a weapon with which to attack the objects of their prejudice. And finally, to love ourselves just as we are, male, female, black, white, brown, gay, straight, transgender, bisexual, learned and unlearned, left-handed and right-handed, indeed, in all of the rich variety of the human family. We are to stand as one against any religious system that encourages self-hatred, that manipulates through guilt, or that presents God as a punishing parent who delights in our groveling before the throne of grace. May we live out what it means to love our neighbor as ourselves. No ifs, no buts. And may we be as revolutionary as Jesus in the way that he embraced all. Amen.
Story of love for me, I would not forget those moments of doubts. If I could rewrite your story of love for me, I would not erase those times of struggle, those moments of doubting myself and blaming you for all my brokenness. Those moments I wrestle myself and you for the answers. For a little hope, then I will remember when you became real to me, when you not turn away, when you would not turn away. I will remember I am an anchor of love, I am a beacon of hope for you. story of love for me. I would not forget those moments of doubts. If I could rewrite your story of love for me, I would not erase those times of struggles, those moments of doubting myself and blaming you for all my brokenness. Those moments I ransom myself and you for the answers. For little hope, then I will remember when you became real to me, when you would not turn away, when you would not turn away. I will remember I am an anchor of love, I am a beacon of hope for you. When you touch me on my side, when my eyes were open to you, and so I saw that I was born free. When you touched me on my side, when my eyes were open to you, and so I saw that I was born free. Then I will remember when you became real to me, when you would not turn away, when you would not turn away. I will remember I am an anchor of love, I am a beacon of hope for you. I will remember when you became real to me, when you would not turn away, when you would not turn away. I will remember I am an anchor of love, I am a beacon of hope for you. For you.
We come now to a time of Holy Communion where we get to live out our values as an inclusive church. But this is a reminder that God's grace is so much wider than we can imagine and is open to all. So if you're joining us from home, now would be a very good time for you to get some elements to represent the bread and the wine so that we can celebrate together. We gather each Sunday at this table. Even though at this time we may not all be physically together, the table of God's feast transcends time and space because God's love transcends all boundaries. So this table recognizes no boundaries. Here at FCC, we celebrate an open table. This means you do not have to meet any criteria. You do not have to be a member of FCC. You do not have to be baptized. You only need to recognize that God's grace is sufficient. Together, God of mercy and justice, be with us. We lift our hearts to you, not because we have to, not because we are supposed to, but because it's how we respond to your unconditional love, because it feels good to know we are loved. As long as there have been people to tell them, our ancestors in faith have shared stories of your mercy, of how you gave food to the poor, clothes to the naked, and shelter to the lost. As long as there have been people to tell them, our ancestors in faith have shared stories of your mercy,
of how you gave freedom to the enslaved, opportunity to the outcast, and peace to the war-torn. You acted with both mercy and justice, rescuing the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, providing them with manna when they were hungry. And your people acted with both mercy and justice, like the prophets who cried out to care for the widow, orphan, and foreigner, and those who provided food, shelter, and community. You have shared your mercy and justice with us, not only as gifts to be received from you, but as gifts that we are to share with the world. We see this gift most clearly in the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus showed us what a life of mercy and justice looked like. In mercy, he gave food to the hungry. In justice, he broke social custom and shared tables with the powerful and the lowly at once. In mercy, he cared for the sick. In justice, he broke religious custom and healed on the Sabbath. In mercy, he had compassion for the poor. In justice, he spoke out against the empire that held them in poverty. In mercy, he washed his disciples' feet. In justice, he died without protest to expose a corrupt system. On the night he was handed over to the unjust system that killed him, he protested by sharing a meal with his friends. There, he took bread, gave thanks for God's mercy in providing it, shared God's mercy by giving it to his friends, then called them to remember the injustice of his broken body every time they ate bread. After they ate, he took the cup, gave thanks for God's mercy in providing it, shared God's mercy by giving it to his friends, then called them to remember the injustice of his spilled blood every time they drank wine. But that wasn't all. God's mercy and justice burst forth when Jesus died, and his resurrection gave hope to all those who hunger for mercy and thirst for justice. God will always equip those who seek to share mercy and justice. Even death cannot stop God's incredible grace. So we ask God's Holy Spirit to be poured out on this meal, on these gifts of mercy, bread and juice, that we may remember Jesus' ministry of mercy and justice. That these gifts of mercy may become for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we may show mercy and do justice, not just for ourselves, but for the transformation of the world. I now invite the ushers to come forward to distribute the elements. For those of us on site, for safety reasons, please do not reach into the bowl, and just wait for the ushers to hand the elements to you. Thank you. If this is your first time with us, please hang on to the elements and we will partake of them all together. Thank you.
Let us partake the elements with gratefulness. Please stand as you're willing and able and join me in the prayer of communion. Together, God, through this meal, we pray that your grace would empower us to do justice, to offer mercy, and to do so with humility. You have given us your Son as an example and your Holy Spirit as an advocate. Give us the courage to do your work in the world. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you.
Good morning, church, and welcome once again to the Free Community Church, the only progressive church in Singapore at the moment, where FREE stands for First Realize Everyone's Equal. My name is Irene Lee, and I'm your service leader for today. So regardless of who you are or where you are at what point in your life, please do know that you are welcome and that now and always you are loved. We pray that our service this morning has ministered to you in one way or another, and that you feel at peace, connected to our God of love, and are a part of this family and community, and that you feel at home. Thank you, Pauline, for a wonderful sermon today, for sharing this morning's message and reminding us that we should always look to and follow Christ's example in all we think, say, or do. We come to another portion of our service this morning, and that is of giving. This is an opportunity for us to give back to our God what He has blessed us with, remembering that it is never coerced, but it is a voluntary acknowledgement of God's blessing for us. In today's context, we have more than one way to give back financially to our Lord. So you can give by cash, as the ushers will come back later on to collect from those who are online, on site. And for those who are at home, you can also do so by giving via direct debit or sending instruction to the DBS Church DBS corporate account, as stated up here, or as with today's context, everything is done online. You can also contribute your finances via PayNow. For those of you who are on site, in the seat in front of you, there are these QR codes. So please feel free to scan them and offer a portion of what you have been blessed with as you're giving back to God. For those of us who are here, will the stewards please come forward and collect those who will be contributing cash? For those, please do not reach into the back. The stewards will come to you. Raise your hands so that they may know that you are wanting to give your contribution by cash. And after this, we will have a prayer of thanksgiving for the blessings that you have contributed to this church and to God's service. For those of you who are at home, you can't really see the number of people who's gathered today. And your presence here, whether online or in person, is always a blessing. And I'm very thankful to see all of you here. This is an amazing day. I mean, you know, part of giving is not only in terms of the finances, but it is also a time for you to reflect and remember that God's love and blessings for us, whether it's our physical health, financial health, we have a safe home, a safe place to worship, a safe environment in Singapore where we do not experience any war or torment. So take this time to remember, reflect, and also to give thanks to God as we wait for the collections to be brought forward. So let us now give thanks for the blessings we've received. Loving God, our parent, who continually watch over us and keep us safe, we thank you for all your encompassing grace, love, and blessings in every area of our life. We appreciate all that you have done for us, and in this our giving back to you, a portion of what you have blessed us with. May you use these gifts and multiply what can be achieved just because you are able and that you are God. Thank you, Lord, once again for everything. All these we ask in your Son's most precious name, Jesus. Amen. As with any church, we now have our announcement segment. I'm very happy to say that we will be having new initiatives because we are progressive and because we want you to have the opportunity to say what is it that you want and need from us. So I invite Pauline now to come forward and explain this initiative that we will be having soon.
So the pastors and the council have been discussing, and we were thinking of doing a series of talks or workshops, especially in the season after Easter. And this will be the period of time that's just before Pink Dot. And I know that there are a lot of interest in different topics out there. And so these workshops, these talks that we have will not happen on a Sunday morning service. It will be on another day, maybe a Saturday or evening, depending on or Sunday afternoon. But we have a link right there, and you can help us right now if you can whip up your phones. And those of you who are at home, please go onto this link. Very simple to complete, all right? There are just a few different options of different talks, suggestions, right, up there. You know, if you can just help us to click the ones that you think are interesting to you, that you feel that, yes, I definitely want to hear more about this topic, please go to fcc.la/festival. All right, you'll see a whole list of topics there. All you have to do is just to choose the ones that are interesting to you. If there's something that's not there that you're interested in and you want to suggest, I think there's an option there for you to suggest as well, okay? So let us know what interests you, and then we'll probably be organizing a series of perhaps three talks in that season after Easter. So that will be in the April, May, June season, okay? So help us by doing that, and that will be a great help. Thank you.
For those of you who are new to FCC, again, welcome home. We would like you to stay in touch with us, so if you will allow us to have the opportunity to connect with you a little bit more deeply, please leave your details at fcc.la/fccwelcome. And for those of you who are on-site, we have forms that you can fill up so that we can have your contact details and to keep in touch with you that way. We also have a newcomers meeting for you to get to know us a little bit better. And this happens every last Sunday of every month. So in March, it will be the last Sunday of this month. Please email us your interest to attend this newcomers meeting and email us at info@freecomchurch.org. We also have a new segment called Living Waters, and I would now like to invite Benny to give the talk about this announcement.
大家好. Can I have the next slide, please? Yeah. 很多同志内心都有很多挣扎，这些东西其实都困扰着我们，这些性取向的问题，让我们真的很多时候不能够堂堂正正、快快乐乐的做人。 可是在很多年前，我跟一个只有17岁的少年交流，我问他一个问题，我说
你是同志，他是一个同志哈，你认为上帝爱你吗？那时候只有17岁的他哈，他睁大了眼睛看着我，很奇怪的说：“他说，神当然要爱我啊，啊，这么肯定？我说为什么？他的原因很简单，他说，因为他把我造成这个样子，这个性取向是天生的。”你们认为呢？而且他还接受下还有一句话说，他把我造成这个样子，他当然爱我，而且神要负责到底。哎，这个很有意思哎，神要负责，负责他什么东西？负责他人生幸福，负责很多很多哈。你们的心里面有多少成分是认为你是天生的？其实很多年前，科学界、医学界都已经证实，我们的性取向是天生的。我们身为同志，不是我们要或者是不要，是我们是与不是，因为我们天生下来就是这个样子。在我的课程中，第六个单元，就是第三天，有一个性取向是天生的。为什么我可以这么肯定的说呢？你们知不知道耶稣基督曾经宣告过同志的性取向是天生的，有谁知道？有多少个人知道耶稣基督曾经宣告过？没有个人知道。耶稣基督做这个宣告的时候很特别，他在这个经文之前跟之后，他说了一句这样的话，他说，我说的这个话不是每一个人都能领受的，唯有赐给谁，谁才能够领受。当时我不了解这个话的意思，可是今天我明白。今天很多反同的那些领袖，虽然他面对着真理，面对着耶稣基督所说的话，他的手指本来应该是指向真理的，教导我们说，哦，这个是耶稣说的，可是他们手指已经转过来指向他自己了，他遮盖了真理，遮盖了耶稣的话，遮盖了圣经所要传达的讯息，让我们相信他们是对的。所以我的第三天第六个单元将会告诉你们说，耶稣基督其实已经声明了，讲得很明白，我们的性取向是天生的。好，我们看下一个啊。其实这个课程在两天之后就开始了，7:30是在网上的。至于有多少人报名，我真的不知道，好像已经超过了。不过我认为，如果你们还要的话，真的我们欢迎你们进来，因为我们的团队为了这个活动真的是付出了很多的时间和心力，这样我希望更多人能够受惠。而且在这边我要报告一下，就是我已经争取到牧师的同意，我们的课程将会介绍酷儿神学，你们有听过吗？酷儿神学就是有关于我们 LGBTQ 的神学观念，而且我也请到欧阳文峰牧师做我的一个特别的嘉宾，我们访谈的方式来谈谈这个话题。好，那希望你们能够抓住这个宝贵的这个机会啊！谢谢。有谁要知道那个经文在哪里吗？有吗？哦，有人举手哈。马太福音19:11。
Okay, just a quick summary.Just a quick summary of what Benny has just shared for those of you who don't understand Mandarin. Essentially, FCC is one of the churches that we are the only ones, as far as I know, that came up with a series of talks entitled Lush for Ladies and then Living Waters for the Guys. Essentially, is to address the so-called clobber passages that is in the Bible to say that, you know, homosexuality is a sin and that all these are, you know, you're not for God and this is not sanctioned by God and so on and so forth. So these series of lessons is just to discuss a little bit more and give you a better idea and for you to make up your own mind. It is not to say that, you know, we propagate or promote homosexuality, but to understand and have this opportunity for you to reconcile your faith and your sexuality. So if you are interested to find out more, or, you know, the upcoming session will be in Mandarin for our Mandarin-speaking congregation and brethren and even visitors. If you are interested in the English sessions, please do let us know so that we can organize something for you down the road, right? Okay, coming up, we now have this project known as Witnessing Through Stained Glass. I don't know about you, but for myself, I'm really excited about this opportunity. If you have had the opportunity of seeing stained glass in some of the churches, either in Singapore or the world over, you would realize that it is such a beautiful depiction of the artists, how they see God, how they see Christ, how they see their religion, their faith, and so on and so forth, in a very unique and colorful way. So we have now this opportunity to do this here at FCC. We have this project known as Witnessing Through Stained Glass. So you can collect translucent square tiles from either the pastors, from Daniel, or your cell group leaders. And you can use these styles to design, create, color, share your talent in terms of what you feel is the colorful life that you have led so far and called to lead just because of who God has made you to be. So you can submit your work, your artwork, by the 28th of March. And if you'd like to find out a little bit more about what you need to do, the instructions are stated at fcc.la/stained glass. And then if you would like to find out more in terms of the information, why, how, what, you can also find out more at info@freecomchurch.org. Now, during this time, you know, since the pandemic started, some of us have been going through some challenges in our lives. Personally, I had the discomfort last year when I was retrenched, when I was going through depression, when I was feeling, you know, totally at loss. So FCC, we have a pastoral support for you to reach out to us and let us know how we can pray with you, how we can give you some comfort. Just because we have two very capable pastors here serving us, especially in the LGBTQ plus community, you are never alone, all right? So please do reach out to us at info@freecomchurch.org. How you would like the pastors to support you, or how we as your fellow Christians, fellow brethren, fellow community members can support you as well. Every Wednesday, for those of us who are able and willing, we have an online prayer meeting sessions where we can gather together to pray for one another or to even listen in and be encouraged. So this prayer meeting happens online every Wednesday, and it is at fcc.la/fccprayers. It is a great time for us to ask for prayers or to reaffirm and share the joy that God has blessed you with, you know, in a prayer of thanksgiving. So please do feel free to join us at any time, at every Wednesday, fcc.la/fccprayers, and it happens at between 8 to 8:30 p.m. So join us every Wednesday, please. Last but not least, you know, in today's modern context, for myself personally, I'm a little bit more old school. I've like a lot of things to be happening face-to-face. But because in today's context, there's so many channels, there's no way for you to say that, you know, oh, nobody has reached out to me, or I do not know how to reach out to anyone. There's all these online services and support, you know, that you can reach out. Let us know how we can serve you. Let us know what you need. Let us, you know, and keep informed and updated as to what's happening in this church, in this community, so that we can also join together as and be part of your lives. So you can go to YouTube for those of us who have did not have the opportunity to come online, or be here live in person to find out more about today's sermon or the past few sermons that has been happening since COVID and beyond started, right? You can also reach us and join our Facebook page, Instagram, FCC broadcast via Telegram, you know, and also the WhatsApp group. Please do connect with us. Let us know your contact details so that we can keep you updated, we can keep you informed, and keep you as a part of our community. As they say in the US, in the past, where they have this poster of Uncle Sam pointing at you, right? We want you, okay? Volunteers are needed. None of this can happen. This online service, you know, every Sunday where we come together to worship, none of this can happen without volunteers. So please, if you feel that you would want to contribute, other than financially, you know, your time, your service, your talent, please do join us, okay? We are calling for volunteers to help us with the production ministry and communications ministry, but that is not all, okay? Any areas that you think that you want to serve and are willing to serve and be counted, please contact us at info@freecomchurch.org. No experience is required. All we ask for is your willingness and your time. Training will be provided and all are welcome. So thank you in advance for those of you who are volunteering. Finally, last but not least, your feedback is important to us. Now, we need you to let us know what we are doing right and what we are doing that can be improved. So please give us your feedback because we love to hear from you. You know, you can provide your feedback to encourage us, to help us, or just simply to say that, you know, maybe you can talk about this a little bit more or elaborate on this a little bit more. Help us to improve our service, whether on Sunday, online, or live, and feedback to us at fcc.la/fcclivefeedback. We love to hear from you. So don't leave without letting us know how we can do better. We'll be coming to the end of our service, but in the meanwhile, we'd like to invite Pastor Miak to give us the benediction for the week.
Thank you, Irene. May I invite those who are present on site to stand as we are willing and able to receive the benediction. Followers of the one who's called a drunkard and a glutton, know that you may be called names. You may be vilified. You may be persecuted. But know that you are beloved by God, and you're called to step out into the world to live out the teachings of Christ, to do justice, to love mercy, and walk humbly with God always. So go in peace, go in love always. Amen.
Thank you once again, everybody, for joining us this day. We hope that the service has ministered to you. May you have a blessed week, and that may God always be on your mind and in your hearts. Thank you, and have a good week. So for those of you